Next item on the agenda is Mr. Gregory Garrett, 07-1883. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. This takes just a second to load up. Mr. Greg Garrett is requesting authorization to construct five Class 3 quarry stone breakwaters, place 2,910 cubic yards of beach nourishment material, and install seven warning signs at his property situated along the thoroughfare in York County. The project is protested by an adjoining property owner. Mr. Garrett resides at 122 Sandbox Lane in the Dandy section of York County at the mouth of the York River. His property is accessed via an existing causeway, and it's a four-acre parcel that Vim's described as a low-lying peninsula. You will note that the property is bounded to the north by the York River, to the east, southeast by the thoroughfare, and by an unnamed cove directly behind his home. His home is right here. The area is also referred to as the sandbox, as you can see from the shoaling. Just another close-up of the map. The property is here. This is the thoroughfare, Goodwin Islands, the York River, and Vims is back up this way, Gloucester Point, just a little ways. This is an aerial of the property. His home, which is situated here, is currently protected by an existing riprap revetment and a sill, as well as is the causeway. He now wants to, and you can see their staked locations, build the breakwaters around to this point and to backfill it with nourishment to restore the shoreline and protect it from erosion. Back up a minute. Vims does describe this area as a low-lying peninsula, but Mr. Garrett will oftentimes refer to this feature as his nature island. I may call it an island. I may call it a peninsula in my briefings. Vims, there's been a total of five applications submitted on this property since 2004. So there have been a number of opportunities for representatives from Vims, our staff, as well as York County, to be on this property at multiple tides. So we know the property pretty well. Vims describes it as a low-lying peninsula with elevations under 6 feet. The windward side of the property is described as a beach that's sited in front of an eroding scarp of marsh peat. The leeward side back in this area is all intertidal marsh. There's a tidal pond in there. The adjacent property owner, Mr. Tim McCulloch, here has permitted and dredged a commercial boat basin here, as well as an entrance into the cove. Note the installation of the two timber jetties. And in this, Mr. McCulloch is objecting to the beach nourishment portion of the project. He's on record at the Watkins Board saying that he supports the breakwaters, but he doesn't. Can't support the beach nourishment in an area already referred to as the sandbox because he thinks it will increase the shoaling rates in that dredged channel. I'm going to show you in this aerial and three that follow in a, sort of a time series what this shoreline has done in the last 4 years. You'll note that with this jetty's installation, sand is obviously trapping here. As we move up the island to the east, this section is undergoing erosion at a pretty alarming rate. And there is also erosion along the thoroughfare beach side. Last summer, pretty much similar conditions. You see the sand is still trapping on the jetty, but the erosion is pretty prevalent here and here. You can also see a nice shot here of the existing riprap revetment that's protecting his home and a marsh still out in this area. This shot was taken in 2006. A little bit more sand in the system up along the thoroughfare side. You can see that there's still a marsh. At that time, a marsh was still persisting here, and you still had the sand trapping on the jetty. And this photograph, although a little fuzzy, is probably the most telling. I was taken back in 04 before the installation of the timber jetties. You'll note that this end of the western tip of the island is marsh, which has since been buried by sand trapping on the jetty. And also a little bit more sand in the system up in this area here. So that's, the major distinction is once the jetty was put in, it trapped sand to the and actually buried that marsh and created a sandy beach and small dune in that area. Some ground shots to familiarize you with it a little bit more. In the left, I have somewhat of a legend to show you with the red circle where the ground shot was taken on the property as I go through these. This was our surveyor back in the 04 time frame, GPS in the mean low water area. You see that the areas, that's the little sandy beach just adjacent to the home. The same area taken last Thursday. It's pretty much intertidal now, covered at high tide. The first breakwater would be constructed in this area and then wrap around the property. We're still over here. That's Goodwin Island off to the east there. As you come around the point of the property on the southeast point, this is where the erosion is at its heaviest. You can see it's down to the shot was taken last Thursday as well. It's down to marsh, peat, and clay. That's looking to the west, turning around, looking back to the east, northeast. You see the erosion. Now coming down to about, you know, midway down the shoreline, you see we transitioned to almost an accretional, or at least a stable area where sand is accumulated to form a beach. That was taken in July of 07. Another shot just last Thursday. Kind of where it transitions from an erosional environment to a more stable environment, about midway down the shoreline. And now we get down to the end, the western tip of the property where the jetty is. You see the sand that is now accumulating up and over that former marsh area to create a sandy beach and almost dune-like situation. Standing on top of the jetty looking to the south, you see that it's trapping and wrapping around into the navigation channel. That's just a little bit above mean low water there. And then backing off a little bit, you can see that that bar is coming out into the, this is the other jetty, so it's about mid-channel by now. These are the project drawings. Again, the home would be up here. The breakwaters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, with that inlet being down in here. Beach nourishment proposed behind the breakwaters. Cross sections, this is the larger of the breakwaters out on the thoroughfare side, constructed to a height of 1.5 above mean high water, class 3 stone. The smaller breakwater is a little bit smaller in base width, but also constructed to a height 1.5 feet above mean high water, class 3 stone. Seven signs to mark the obstructions to boaters. This graphic was prepared by the agent for Mr. Garrett in an attempt to address during the Wetlands Board hearing, which was back in June and in several hearings earlier, to show the location of the project in an aerial, and there's your five breakwaters, relative to the approximate footprint of the dredged commercial basin and the smaller residential channel up into the cove to Mr. McCulloch's here in Boathouse. That's Mr. McCulloch's home, and that's Mr. Garrett's home. And then a little bit of a close-up. This would be the last breakwater. The projected end of the nourishment would be 135 feet from the edge of the basin. Now, this morning the agent has told me he's refined this drawing. He will bring it forward and probably put it on the document camera. It's been tweaked a little bit based on some of Mr. McCulloch's comments. This is a ground shot looking from the western shoreline of that island area over to the adjacent commercial boat basin. You can see we're back in here where I took the photograph. This was originally heard by the Wetlands Board in March. In the VIMS report at that time, they were questioning the project needs, stating that Mr. Garrett has protected his home and the causeway already, and that this marsh island area, which they refer to as a peninsula, is really in no need of protection. They did say that the breakwater project posed a risk to that downdrift navigation channel, and that in lieu of the breakwater at that time, VIMS was favoring a stone spur and sill design that had been offered up in 2005 by VIMS to Mr. Garrett. This is that drawing. It was done by Scott Hardaway with the VIMS, you know, Shorelines program. Here's your Garrett's home, the end of the existing revetment. So they had designed a stone spur, class 3, and then a lower height continuous sill down about mid-shoreline with nourishment and plantings with vegetation. The spur would have been at a height of plus 5, which is 2.5 feet above mean high water, class 3 stone. The sill would have been a lower elevation equal to mean high water, backfilled and planted with marsh. Bims basically said that this design would correct the erosion of the marsh on site, and that the continuous sill stabilized with the wetland planting would decrease the likelihood of sand movement downdrift to that channel. They did say, however, if the breakwater was to be authorized, you know, and this report was prepared for both the Wetlands Board and the Commission, that they recommended at that time, this was at the time a March report, that the length of that terminal jetty, that's the terminal feature for this project, be lengthened and raised to more effectively trap sand. They also recommended that the height of the breakwaters be elevated and that their lengths be lengthened. And I'm giving you some history on the Wetlands Board because it kind of feeds into all of this. At the March hearing, at the chairman's advice, Mr. Garrett did agree to table the matter, meet on site with BIMS to discuss these concerns with the protestant. That meeting took place. What came out of that meeting was, which we were not invited to, was a May 2008 revision where they essentially lengthened the breakwaters. They did not address the terminal feature. So the thing was eventually heard and adjudicated by the board in June. And in the June 9th email, BIMS basically said that the May 2008 revision appeared to address the majority of their design concerns. And the Wetlands Board went on and approved their portion of the project, which was the nourishment, because the breakwaters are cited subtitling. I'm going to leave this up for discussional purposes. I think that the agent will probably, you know, give you a different version of that drawing. So, going on to the summary, and I'm going to start with the third paragraph because I've covered the first two. Staff believes that Mr. Garrett should be able to protect his property from erosion. However, we share the protestants' concerns over the potential downdrift impacts to the established navigation channel. Since the applicant modified the breakwater design to the general satisfaction of VIMS, we recommend approval of the breakwaters, and we state here that provided they're constructed to a height acceptable to VIMS. Well, Lyle saw me this morning and said they are acceptable at the height as designed. We cannot, however, support the placement of the beach nourishment material on the state-owned submerged land at this time, given its likelihood of downdrift impacts to the navigation channel. We can concur with the VIMS position that the more appropriate erosion control measure for this property is the rock spur and marsh sill that was offered back in 2005. Should the breakwaters be constructed, however, and fail to catch sand naturally after a two-year period, we would be willing to recommend that the Commission readdress, you know, the issue of the nourishment at that time. The portion of the nourishment approved by the local Wetlands Board is not in question and can be placed today. We still strongly encourage both the protestant and the applicant to meet and work on a different design for that terminal jetty, because that, gentlemen, is what's going to be the best approach to protecting that inlet that's been permitted to be dredged. So anything they would do would need to come back to you for further approval, however, and we have not been able, they have not been able to work out, I guess, a compromise on that issue.
Available for questions. Questions, Mr. Schick?
Yes, this offshore jetty system, isn't this traditionally protecting erosion for sand shorelines, not marsh shorelines?
That might be why Mr. Hardaway originally designed a sill for the, I won't flip back to it unless you ask me to, but the he basically designed the spur coming out here to catch that northeast face.
And keep the sand over where it traditionally had been in that hole.
Right, and then from this point around, a continuous marsh sill backfilled with tidal wetlands vegetation.
So really, this might even increase the elimination of the marshland and replacing it with sand.
It potentially could, because that is what's going on down here. You've got the jetty catching the sand to the detriment of the marsh.
And okay. Well, I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's the right shoe for the foot. Okay.
But I'll preserve that until I hear everything.
Further questions for Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have one question. You suggested that we not allow nourishment if we allow the breakwater project to go forward. Is that to what extent is that related to this as a erosion control strategy? In other words, would that compromise the effectiveness of the system as a whole? Or?
It may. I discussed that with Mr. Hardaway. I think he might. He's not here today. He may tell you differently if he were here. Mr. Garrett and Mr. McCulloch both stood up in front of the wetlands board, and Mr. Garrett said right on the record, I really don't want to put all the sand down there. They both share that channel. Sure, I think the ability to protect that area from erosion is going to be less until it naturally catches with sand, and we don't know that it will, but it is the sandbox. The concern was with most, you know, when you don't nourish a breakwater system, you're worried about starving down drift. In this case, you may not be worried about starving down drift because they don't want the sand there. But will it catch sand? We don't know. If it does, it'll obviously delay the protection of the erosion of that area. That's, you know, but we've got both the applicant and the protestant concerned about the volume of sand, but Mr. Garrett did acquiesce to his own agent who was working, you know, if you would, from a science approach with the modeling of the breakwaters.
Not to prejudice the case because I haven't made a decision yet, but I think the fact that staff has gone out to indicate that there will be a reevaluation in a couple of years to see how it works, I mean, that's, to me, a very positive step. I can understand why you don't want to go and put a whole bunch of sand in there now, not knowing exactly what the dynamics are going to be. Put a lot of sand in there, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You've really shot yourself in the foot while you've aimed. So, I like the approach, anyway. Further questions? Thank you, Randy. Is the applicant here represented? Good morning, sir. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Carl Mertig. Excuse me. I'm the agent for the applicant, Greg Garrett.
Good to have you here, Mr. Mertig.
Thank you, Chairman. I do have revised drawings, as Randy indicated, for the commission. The revision that I've placed before you reflects comments received from Mr. McCulloch regarding the dredge basin and the orientation of that dredge basin relative to the property line on his property. The revision to the distance from the drawing that Randy presented to this drawing, we had originally shown the distance from the edge of the last breakwater at 165 feet. It is now 155 feet. I did not go and redo all of the additional measurements on this drawing, but that had been a concern. A concern had been brought up in the Wetlands Board hearing as to how far the closest breakwater was to the existing channel in the thoroughfare, and I've placed that distance on there at 360 feet as well, because there had been a concern about hazard to navigation. Mr. Garrett has presented a letter to you. He apologizes for not being able to be here. He had business he had to attend to. In general, we first want to appreciate and want to thank Randy and all the work staff has done over the last 3 years on this project. As you know, we've been working on this since 2005 when VIMS initially proffered an alternate solution. And Randy's done a really good job of showing you gentlemen the changes that the property has undergone since 2006 with the aerial photos he's presented. The property, when this project was initially contemplated, significantly had a larger amount of sand on it, and the sand has come and gone relative to storm events since that time. The project as proposed, the rationale behind it was, we have a very dynamic shoreline, as you can see. It's got a large fetch to the southeast and as well to the northeast. There's not really a one-size-fits-all approach to something like this. And as Mr. Garrett, myself, Randy, Scott Hardaway have all stated, until you build something in the shoreline that you think is going to work and watch it, you're not really sure exactly what it's going to do. There is science out there that tells you what it should do, but there is a storm out there that's going to undo everybody's plans.
Sure.
The project as proposed was designed to attempt to arrest the erosion in the areas where erosion was occurring and to leave the system more or less in its static equilibrium as it has achieved since the construction of the jetty. That's why the beach nourishment was ended where it was. That's why the rock breakwaters were ended where they were. As you can see in the drawing in front of you, perhaps better than on the board, there is a near shore channel just offshore, and I apologize for my too much coffee this morning, right offshore behind the proposed location of the breakwaters. One of the reasons for the beach nourishment is to attempt to fill in that channel. That channel, if the breakwaters were built by themselves, could scour any sand that the breakwaters would otherwise catch. And so the beach nourishment is an attempt to backfill that nearshore channel, which has a fairly fast flow rate at both high tide and low tide as the tide comes in and out of that system. You'll notice that this breakwater is proposed in that channel itself, and that is also an attempt to disrupt the movement of that channel and push that channel further offshore to further attempt to help this system maintain some sort of equilibrium once it is constructed.
What's the depth of the channel?
At low tide, there's about 3 feet right here near shore, and then about a foot and a half on the outside of that channel. The marsh tow sill idea, when it was presented by Mr. Hardaway in 2005, was something that we looked at and quickly, we looked at, and as I looked at it and thought about it and looked at the system, and believe me, I've had time to look at this, I don't believe that is the appropriate fix for this system. If we can pull back, and Randy had a better shot of further upriver from an aerial, but all of the upriver shoreline, including Mr. Garrett's property, is armored. And that armoring does not provide any roughness along the shoreline to trap sand. The sand that's in that system and churned up flows in the currents until it reaches a place where there's some steady water or some slower moving water, at which point the sand can settle out. The construction of a continuous, more or less continuous marsh tow sill along this property would facilitate the movement of sand around that structure to its terminal point, wherever that may be, and then it would be deposited there. A system like this with breakwaters with pocket beaches behind them will allow some opportunity for sand in the system to settle out as it's moving around this point. A question had been asked about the marsh filling with sand. We're not proposing any additional sand in this area where the marsh has already been covered with sand. In some of Randy's photos, you've seen an overwash fan here where the sand that had been in this system in various storm events had been washed over the marsh. That is actually a natural, healthy condition for marshes. It replenishes sediments lost during storms, and the marsh grass will eventually grow back up through, whether it's a high marsh or a middle marsh or a low marsh. That's what keeps marshes alive in a system as dynamic as this. But we are not proposing any additional sand back in here. And in any case, there is no marsh any longer in this location. All of that marsh has been eroded. So the sand will actually allow for the establishment or reestablishment of the marsh that has eroded over the last 4 or 5 years since I've been working on the project. That all being said, Mr. Garrett would consider letting nature take its course, building the structures, and seeing what happens. Certainly hauling in sand is an expensive proposition, and there is an excess of sand in the system. If it would please the commission, you know, that is something that Mr. Garrett would not be opposed to doing.
Any questions from the commission? Yes, let me, one real quick. Have you ever built one of these systems before?
I have not built one, no, sir.
The reason I ask is the commission permitted a number of these type of systems over in Isle of Wight County, close to it, similar design, and the amount of sand that has accreted over there is really pretty amazing. The amount that actually shows up in there, so
well, and observation. The jetty itself is evident of the amount of sand and the ability for this system to build itself up. That jetty, when it was initially permitted, did not go before the Wetlands Board because it was completely built on subaqueous bottom.
Right.
4 years ago.
I do have
one. Mr. Tankard, yes, sir.
Does it concern you, though? You talk about sand flow and currents. It's the channel's there, so we know that's where it's going, and it seems as though the sand is depositing at the point of the jetty. So there's a lot of transport dynamics there. Are you worried that, in fact, but these jetties or these rock formations offshore will compress that channel and increase the flow of water, pushing up against the side of the island there? It just worries me too much.
Well, the channel is a construct of the wind and the tide in this. The sandbox is basically a very large cove, and there's only so much water that can be pushed in by wind or by tide before it has to flow out through some area. There's the main thoroughfare channel on this side of the thoroughfare between Goodwin's Island and this property, but then the water that comes in this way comes around the property and flows out through this narrow channel, and you can see the bar in between here, between the Goodwin Island channel and this part of the property. These structures and the beach that is built behind it will push that channel further out into the thoroughfare and move it further offshore. That same volume of water is going to have to flow out of the system after this is constructed. So no, I'm not worried that it's going to negatively affect property owners. It's going to move that channel further out into the thoroughfare.
Mr. Fox.
On the drawing here, are you proposing to extend the jetty along the channel?
The inset in the drawing with the red dashed line is a project that was approved by the commission last year, the year before, to extend Mr. McCulloch's jetty another 30 feet. That has not been constructed, but it is an approved project by the commission.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Murdy. Anyone here in support of the project? Do you want to hear in opposition of the project or wishes to be heard? Good morning, sir. Raise your right hand, please.
Dietrich?
Yes, sir. Solemnly swear.
209 Belden Lane.
Thank you. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Did you get his name, Kathy?
No, sir.
You should repeat your name. I interrupted
Dennis
you.
Dietrich?
Thank you, Mr.
Dietrich.
Face them out.
Dennis Dietrich.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Dietrich. Proceed, please, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Start off with, I've got over 20 years of experience on doing jetties and piers and everything else from the Potomac River down to the Pagan River. And we are not in opposition, really, to building the jetties.
You're talking about the breakwaters?
The breakwaters.
Yes, sir.
On the northeast section there. That whole area that he was talking about, I rocked that whole area around there on the northeast side of that. And Our main concern is, like he said, that sand flow coming around there. And what Mr. Hardaway suggested in 2005, in my opinion, is the best way that he could possibly stop the erosion there. And if it would have been done back in 2005, we wouldn't have the sand down there at our Tomar Sill right now. Because all that sand came off of that point and migrated right down around to that at Tomar Sill. And that drawing there, that represents the basin that we have, is not exactly true, because the point of the basin there is closer to that sand. In other words, that sand has built out there a whole lot further now than what it was when we put in the application for the basin. So it's not exactly true in that respect. And on the north side up there, when I was putting in the rock there, they have a bulkhead there. I was reinforcing the bulkhead. And offshore from the bulkhead there, there was a nice wide swath of marsh grass in there. And I proposed at the time to put rock on the outside edge of that marsh grass to try to save the marsh grass, because without that rock there, it was just going to erode that right up to the rock. And at the time, the Wetlands Board wasn't really in favor of it. And I finally talked them into it.
Were you the contractor then at that time?
Yes. Yes, I was.
For Mr.
Mr. Garrett did not own the property at the time.
Okay. Right, I'm just trying to keep things in order. Thank you.
Right. And I put a Tomar Sill out there. And the Wetlands Board has been out there several times, and I think Randy has been out there, and he's seen it. And it's done a wonderful job in protecting that marsh grass. And that's why I think if they put the rock jetties out there to stop that northeast fetch coming in there, and then tie your other Tomar Sill into that and wrap it on around there and tie it back into our Tomar Sill there. That way you have it tied in on both ends. And you have your sill there, and you can have your living marsh behind it. In fact, well, I just did one on Mr. McCulloch's property there, that the Tomar Sill like that, just for that simple reason, to protect the marsh grass. And I think that would stop the flow of sand, the northeast jetties up there. I mean, I wouldn't have any objection to putting them out there, but I still think that Tomar Sill there with the grass behind it would be a much better solution to the problem there, rather than putting those in there. Because I still think on the northeast storm coming around there, it's still going to bring that right on around there.
So that I'm clear, you don't have any specific objection in the way that's designed. You just think that the other way would be better and more effective?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I think it would be a much more effective solution.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
From the experience I've had over the years and so forth, and like I say, it's not exact science. I've seen those work in some places, and in other places they did just the opposite of what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah. Questions of Mr. Deach? Very interesting, sir. I appreciate it. Questions? Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition or would like to comment? Mr. McCulloch? Good. Still good morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
Tim McCulloch, 118 Sandbox Lane.
Good to have you, sir.
A comment. We've had a permit to extend that jetty that everyone's been discussing where all the sand is wrapping around for some time. We left it undone, because I think if I come out 30 feet as permitted, sand's going to go right to the edge of the 30 feet. If I come out 60 feet, it's going to go right to the edge of the 60 feet, with or without the introduction of additional sand. I think without a terminal feature that wraps it back in, some sort of a marsh toe sill, I think that it doesn't matter how far I build that jetty, I can take it right on out to the basin, and that sand's just going to keep moving. And that's my concern.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody have any questions, Mr. McCullough? Thanks. Mr. Murdick, where'd you go? You would, a couple minutes to rebut if you need to. Okay. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Chick.
I'm not a coastal engineer. I do have some background in geography and in coastal matters, but this is kind of like going bear hunting with a fishing rod. You might beat the bear, but the bear's going to win the day. This project, I just don't see it. I think that the 2005 proposal is a much better proposal. I just don't see that this is going to help create a marsh, wetlands marsh. This is going to help create a nice sandy beach is what this is going to create. And it's going to create more problems probably for the channel the way it's constructed. It does need a terminal end. There is no terminal end. The end is the filling in the channel. So because it's not going to trap all the sand, it's still going to flow through. And as that channel comes out on the other side of the breakwaters, if that does, it's going to carry that sand around and still not catch it. So I just don't see that this is the right application for the right area.
Okay. Further comment? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's risk in both strategies. This is a highly dynamic area. It's a high-energy area. There's obviously a very dynamic movement of sand. And, I think there's a case to be made for the strategy that VIMS articulated in 2005. The applicant, though, has pointed to the fact that they're concerned that if they do that, they'll simply have a large deposit of sand at the end of the project on the southern end of the property. So I think there's a case to be made both ways. I think there is some risk of shoaling with either strategy. I think here the applicant has made the case that this is an appropriate remedy, and staff has suggested that nourishment not be allowed for the time being if we approve it as proposed. And I think that helps mitigate some of those risks.
Further comments? Matters before the commission for action.
Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, Mr. Packard?
I do have some trepidation, but when I think about the alternatives, this does seem to me the best, and so I move that we approve this project as presented by staff without the beach or the sand replenishment.
Second. Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Two noes. Mr. Schick and Mr. Fox dissenting. Thank you all very much for a good presentation. Always learn something.